Reformed Church.
One thing that the Lord told me to share with you today, and I'm just going to do this very, very briefly. We have a lot of teaching online about this. I wrote a whole thing called the Resurrection Handbook. We have Reform U classes on there online called Eternal Life Overview, Eternal Life Resurrection. There's a whole lot to say about this, but I'll just share this very quickly, that there's a common thing in the church, which you guys, of course, know about, to say that to die is gain. And you say, well, that's in the Bible. And it is in the Bible, but it's not in the Bible the way that people say, the way that people quote it. Because when people say to die is gain, typically they're just making a blanket statement that death in general is a net benefit. Death in general is an advantage, and that's not true. The only way that death is any advantage is in one very, very small slice of reasoning and slice of logic. One very, very small thing. In all other cases, death is not an advantage. There is no advantage or gain to death. There's so much scripture I could bring you through. Again, the Resurrection Handbook, I talk a lot more about this. So I'd encourage you, they're just like small, they're broken down into small articles. But I would encourage you to read that. But death is a curse. It always has been a curse. It has never been anything but a curse in the Bible. God has never blessed anyone with death. Under the law, it was a curse. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, not the blessing on God's children is death, right? So the wages of sin, and that's talking about punishment, is death. The curse on Adam's sin was death. And that curse spread, actually Romans 5 calls it the condemnation, spread to all. That through that one man, Adam, that condemnation spread to everyone. And it's referring to death. So the concept of corruption and aging and or even breathing your life, that's all condemnation, the Bible calls it. And I'll submit this to you. I won't be able to explain it. But even when the Bible says there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, that's actually, it's talking about condemnation broadly. But he's making a specific application there to death, physical death. And that's why he also says, it talks about that the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. In fact, in just the previous verse or two, before he says there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus, he actually says, who will deliver me from this body of death? And then thanks Jesus that he's delivered us from the body of death. And then it says, there's therefore now no condemnation, referring to the death he was just referring to. So again, I can't substantiate that right now. But suffice it to say right now, even if you read Deuteronomy 28, death is a curse. Always has been a curse. Now, I don't mean God's cursing people today. That's not what I'm saying. But Adam's curse spread to all men, and death has never been a blessing. So to say that death is an advantage, it really flies in the face of all other scriptures that say that death is a curse. And just so you know, if you don't know, curse, that's a bad thing, right? Curse is bad, blessing's good. That's just very, very elementary reasoning there. Curse equals bad, blessing equals good, meaning God says death is a bad thing. That's why Jesus came and died for us. The term for us means on our behalf, meaning so you wouldn't have to, okay? In our stead. We talk about Jesus as the substitute type atonement, and part of that substitution that he stood in the gap for us was he physically died for us, okay? So Jesus also in John chapter 10, verse 10, he says, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Killing, death, is on the side of the thief. He said, but I've come that they might have life and have it super abundantly. Life. Jesus came for one purpose, to give you life. Never will you ever find it said that Jesus came, the Son of God, the exact representation of the Father, came for any other purpose except to give people life. I mean, it's not like halvesies. He didn't say, I came to give you life, but also, if I want you in heaven, I'll give you death to bring you, to pluck the flower, to bring you to heaven, okay? So I say all of this. There's more, even. In the book of Luke, Jesus says he didn't come to destroy men's lives, and in context, that was referring to the people's physical lives, I believe, of the Samaritans, in context. Actually, it was the Samaritans. And he said, I didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And again, if you look at the context and we're honest with it, he is talking about men's physical lives, of their physical bodies. That's what he's talking about there. It's not talking about some spiritual life in heaven or something. So with that, all that said, I'm just trying to prove to you that death is not itself. Death is not an advantage. It is not a gain. So what does Paul mean when he says to die is gain? Again, only in one very small slice of logic is death have any advantage. And here is that advantage. I could just put it in two words to you, and that's pain relief. Death only has an advantage. Not that it is, first of all, even when Paul said that to die is gain, he's not saying that death itself is an advantage, but death can result in an advantage for a believer, and only for a believer. If a believer is suffering in their body, and they have pain in their body, and they say, I want to go home and be with the Lord, which is what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1. If you want to find to die is gain, that's in Philippians chapter 1. If you want to find that, he basically says that he didn't know what he wanted. And he specifically says that, I do not know. I don't know what I want. He says to depart and be with the Lord was better for him. But in which way is it better? Because why, if death is better, here's a few things. Why would God call it a curse all throughout the Bible? Again, there's not even a single point in the Bible where God ever calls death a blessing. I mean, not a single point. Every single time it's used as a curse. It's never used as a blessing. Again, under the law, in the Garden of Eden, even the way that God talks about it today. So why would Paul say that there is some kind of advantage to this in some kind of way? And again, the only advantage that there is to death for a believer is if a believer is in pain, and just so you know, even with this advantage, it's never the will of God, ever. Otherwise, Jesus would have said, I've come to give you life and life super abundantly, and also if you're in pain enough, then I also came to give you death, right? Death is not God's solution to anything, but I'll get there in just one second. So what advantage is there? There is one advantage, and that is, again, if I were to sum it up, I could just say pain relief, because Paul says, if you were to interpret, I'm going to have to cut to the chase. Let me bring you straight to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This is sort of the 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is the interpretation, which Paul also wrote this, and is the interpretation of Philippians chapter 1 when he says to die is gain. So if you want the context of that, you go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5, let's see, in verse 8. Verse 8 says, we are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That right there is he's saying basically the same thing as when he said to die is gain, and he wanted to depart and go to be with the Lord. And he said there was some advantage for him. He says that the same thing here. When he says absent from the body, he's talking about his spirit leaving his body, departing, and going to be with the Lord, and his body dying. And he's saying we're actually willing to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Okay, so why would he say that? You just got to look at the context and just go up a few verses in the same chapter. And it says in verse 2, it says, for in this is referring to in a physical body, in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And actually skip to verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. That right there, he's talking about the burden of being in a physical body. And in particular, Paul suffered a lot of different things, much of it unnecessarily, which people might take offense at that, but unnecessarily from his persecutors. And Paul suffered a lot of different things. And just so you know, when I say unnecessarily, Paul himself said that it was due to his own lack of knowledge that he suffered these things. If I had time to explain that, he said it. He says it himself in Scripture. He said it was due to his own carnal-mindedness. But with that said, he says in this tabernacle, meaning in his physical body, he said, we do groan being burdened. And so that right there is the reason why he said we're actually willing to be absent from this body and to be present from the Lord. Because when a believer's body dies, their spirit goes to be with the Lord, and they can't feel any pain in their physical body anymore because it's been deactivated. It's inactive. They can't feel it anymore. So we've been even talking about in context about like what things that have happened to Charlie Kirk recently and things of that nature. And people will say, well, to die is gain. So they'll just say, well, Charlie's, you know, having a great time in heaven, and it's better for him. And again, in a small slice of logic, that is true. Because Charlie's having a great time right now. He really is. He can't even feel any pain. If before he had some back pain, if he slept on a mattress wrong and he woke up and he had a crick in his back, he's not going to have that anymore. Right? He doesn't feel anything right now in his body. His body is deactivated, and his spirit's in heaven, and all he can feel now is what's in his spirit. And so there is that advantage. But here's the thing. This is the biggest point to make here, and that is that if you look at what Paul says here in verse 4, he says, being burdened, and again, before I even proceed, as I said before, it's because that advantage, when he says to die is gain, in other words, there is some advantage, that's only talking about in the sense of you can't feel what's in your body when your body dies. So you could say that is an advantage, right? But it's a pain relief advantage, right? But here's the thing. Your body is still dead, and death is still a curse. Death has always been a curse, will always be a curse. So death itself is still not advantageous. God has better for us, and the will of God ultimately, even though there is that advantage, that is a truth. There is that advantage. And again, as I just even stated in example with Charlie Kirk, there is that advantage, but that's not the will of God. Why is that not the will of God? Before I even read this to you, here's the thing here. If death was just a net benefit, why would Jesus ever raise anybody from the dead? What would be the point? He would just be doing them a disservice to raise anybody from the dead. And someone might say, well, he raised them from the dead, even though it's really a disservice to them, and they were having a better time in heaven because they still had ministry to do on this earth or something like that. Okay, well, why is it that Jesus will raise every person from the dead in his second coming? Everybody will be raised, and there will be no more death, according to, I believe, it's Revelation chapter 21. Why will there be no more death? If death is an advantage, why will God do away with it manifestly? Death is even called the enemy of God, actually, in the Bible. I think that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Why is it called an enemy of God, and why will God completely do away with it if death itself is just a blanket statement, an advantage, if it's a benefit, if it's somehow a good thing? Why would he do away with it? And again, you can't say for ministry because there won't be anybody to minister to in the resurrection. So it won't be for ministry. There'll be no one to minister to. It just so happens God don't like death. And God wants to do away with death, which is why Jesus died for us. And again, so the logic is not sound. If you just talk about death as just blanket statement, a net benefit, as if it's a good thing, again, as I said before, it flies in the face of all the scripture that paints death as a bad thing, contradicts the work of Jesus, which he said he came to give us life and not death. And then on top of that, it doesn't make any sense with the resurrection, because why would there be a resurrection, which literally means a rising again from the dead, if death was a benefit? Why wouldn't God keep it in place? Death is not a benefit. Death is a bad thing. Death is always a curse. Jesus came to redeem us from this thing. And the only advantage that there is to death for a believer is that you can't feel what's in your body. But here, let me just sum this up. The thing that God wants to do for a suffering body, there is a small advantage and a temporary one at best to a body dying and a believer going to be with the Lord in heaven. But you know what's better than that and what is actually the will of God in that scenario is instead of making the physical body die so that you can go to be with in heaven and you just can't feel the corruption in your body is to fix the corruption in your body. So for instance, rather than Paul saying, I'm suffering so much and being burdened, I'd be willing rather to go and be with the Lord than to suffer these things. That may be true in a small slice of logic there, but you know what's better for Paul? To be clothed with the life of God in his body so he doesn't feel the pain that he was feeling before. For him to be healed, for him to be healed of his wounds, for people to be healed of their sickness. Because if you were in a glorified body, if you had a full life in your body, you wouldn't want to shed this body, be unclothed of it, and go to be with the Lord. The only reason why any person, any believer would ever want to shed this body is because it hurts or they have pain. So God's will is to heal that pain. And then you wouldn't mind staying in your body, which is why, just so you know, Jesus will raise every person from the dead in the resurrection, and no one will be mad about that. You know why? Because there will be also no pain. He'll raise people up in a glorified body, and they'll be healed and whole. So that's actually God's solution to death, and I'm just going to stop right here with this verse. And that is the latter part of verse 4. He says, not that we would, that means that not that we want to be unclothed. The word unclothed is referring to death. Paul says, I would be willing. This is the same Paul that just said to die is gain in that small application. And then later in just a few verses, he said, I'd be willing rather to go and be with the Lord rather than be in this body. That same Paul, a few verses before, says, not that we want to be unclothed. In other words, not that we want to shed this body and die. He's saying, I'm not saying that that's actually what I really want. I'm only saying this for the sake of pain relief. He says, I'm not saying I really want to be unclothed of this body. That's not really the will of God. He says, but that to be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. I'm going to have to stop right there. But what he's saying is, ultimately, really, what Paul's saying is, I'm not saying I'm willing to go to be with the Lord because that's actually what I want. He says, not that we want to be unclothed. In other words, Paul's saying, not that I want to die. I'm not saying that death is really what I ultimately want. I'd be willing to do this for pain relief right now. That would be better from a pain relief standpoint and to be relieved of the burdens of my body. But here's a better way. Not that I desire to be unclothed of this body, but to be further clothed. That means to put on the life of God to this body, to put on the glory of God to this body, to be relieved rather than just leave my body to be relieved. I'd rather be relieved by having the life of God upon my body and to fix these burdens and to fix these pains. And that, he's saying, is better. That's ultimately what he wanted. And that is the will of God. So to die is not gain as a blanket statement. Jesus came to give us life. What God actually wants to do is rather than someone leave their body for pain relief. He wants to heal their body for pain relief. And then you can stay in your body and you don't have to leave it because it actually feels better because it's been healed, because it's been made whole, because it's living now and alive. Man, there's so much I can say about that. So I'm going to have to, again, submit the resurrection handbook to if you want to learn more about that. But anyway, that's the context for today's game.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this uncommon truth out to the world. If you'd like to support this good news, you can do so at reformchurch.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reformchurch.com.